Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
New book out by the Pulitzer Prize winning Washington Post reporter Carol Leoning. Evidently, the claim is that the Trump family in deep with the Secret Service agents. And it's one of these kind of things where you're going, maybe leave the Secret Service agents alone. This is bad. But evidently, they were servicing the agents. I guess that's the way it's being spun, because Donald Trump Jr.'s wife evidently is dating the former Secret Service agent that used to protect them. So you know this was part of the thing going on the whole time. And they went through, I guess her book is kind of like the whole family took a turn at one point or another. So there you go. The scandals never end. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top stories of the day, maybe even a little bit about the, as the Trump turns. I've asked our good friend Matthew Chapman to come talk with us. Matthew is a reporter over at Raw Story, where he does fantastic work. RawStory.com, the website. Matthew, thanks for taking time for us.
Great to be back, Rick.
So what do you think of this salacious, just coincidence that all these Trump women are finding Secret Service agents to go running off with?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't doubt this story for a second. It just seems very on brand for the Trump family.
Let's go to something my Republican voters will really be thrilled with. And they'll be really happy with. Vladimir Putin scored 8 goals, leading his team to a 13-9 victory in the game that Vlad plays every year.
Absolutely. He absolutely crushed it out there. He was moving around that puck so much it looked like the other team wasn't even trying to beat him.
Is it one of those situations where if you see him up against the boards, you just don't? Or if you do take that shot, you cross-check him into the boards, do you end up in a gulag somewhere?
I don't know. You know, I think the best encapsulation of this whole thing was a couple of years ago when he did the same thing, scored a ton of goals, and then on the victory lap, he face planted on the ice.
And then he melted the ice just for spite.
Well, you'd think he could melt ice by glaring at it.
Yeah. There is that. It was one of those things I always thought that Trump would try at one point. You know, some kind of spectacle that, you know, people would let him, you know, I mean, golf isn't one of those things that, you know, people are going to really watch and score as much, you know, especially since I'm sure he does a lot of kicking out of the woods. But, I always thought he would do something to make himself look like Kim Jong-il used to, you know, say he bowled, you know, the only time he went bowling, he had a 300 game. He played golf at 18 holes and won, you know, that kind of legend stuff. I was kind of expecting that out of the former guy.
Well, you know, strong men or in the case of Trump, I guess you could call him aspiring strong men. You know, they have a lot of different ways of projecting their strength. I mean, I think Trump was just happy with the sort of photo ops he did, you know, holding that Bible upside down outside a church, dragging the troops out to pose with them whenever he wanted. You know, there's all sorts of different ways of doing it.
Good point. I wanted to get your thoughts on Liz Cheney. She says she's not going down without a fight. She's out there giving it her all. And I care even less than I did yesterday, which was none. And cared even less yesterday than I did before, which was none. But I'm curious your thoughts.
Well, you know, I think we can all agree that Cheney's not really in step with, you know, with progressive values for certain. But, you know, what does seem to be obvious is that she isn't comfortable promoting a lie that would just completely undermine the foundations of democracy. In that sense, I guess we can applaud her. I think Republicans are not going to get what they're hoping for out of this. You know, whenever they purge people, there'll always be a new set of people who are just disloyal enough to purge. And, you know, one day they're going to wake up and find they purged everyone but like the very hardcore.
Yeah, but you know, they're the party of the, they're the Big Ten party, they said. Which I when I heard that, I'm going, since when? When has that party been the homogenous party of white old guys? When's that been a Big Ten party?
Well, you know, to be fair, you do need a pretty big tent to have. I was that kind of circus.
Yeah, you know, but you know, here's the thing. They're the party of Donald Trump. They're the party of Marjorie Taylor Greene. They're the party of Lauren Boebert. They're the party of, you know, the guy who's having sex with underage girls and paying them on, you know, Venmo or whatever it is. You know, that's who they are now.
It is. And they're every day being more and more like a personality cult, the problem.
And that's
where Liz Cheney had to get off. I mean, she's a hardcore conservative, but you know, she's interested in the weeds of the stuff. She's interested in advancing conservative policy. She didn't sign up to kiss the ring of a tyrant.
And here's the thing, and this is the part that puts me in this weird spot. Because I do respect the fact that she's willing to stand up to them and say, no, I'm not going to lie for you. No, you know, the former guy didn't win. There aren't Chinese ballots. There are no ballots from Mars. None of this conspiracy nonsense happened. Stop it. I do respect that. But I think her ideas and her policies have been horrible for this country. And anything she would come up in the future, I think, is just as bad. So I have bad on this side, and then I got horrible, you know, people who want to destroy the Capitol and defecate on the floor and urinate on desks. I got them on the other side. So, you know, for me, there's really nothing left in the Republican Party to salvage.
I think you're right. I think that, honestly, the fact is that I hope that sometime in the future there will be a massive realigning election that changes the Republican Party into something that is, you know, workable within the framework of democracy. And, you know, the optimist in me says that history shows these realignments do happen. But, you know, for the time being, this party has just proven itself to be a horrendous danger to all of the institutions that we hold dear.
Yeah. Now, the person who's going to replace her, this Elise Stefanik, what's the MO on her?
Well, you know, it's a really funny thing. So at the time that she won her seat, it was kind of a swingy district. And in some ways it still is. It actually did it did swing back towards Biden in 2020. But you know, the thing is, she started out running as a moderate. She was endorsed by Romney and stuff. Although, to be fair, that was back in the era when Romney wasn't really considered a moderate. But the thing is that she realized that to advance her career, she needed to be more of a personality cultist. So that's what she did. And the change really, you could really start seeing it during the first impeachment. That's when she really started taking the spotlight, became a national name, and grandstanded in Trump's favor.
No, I mean, and that seems to be what you've got more than anything. You know, you've got these new Republicans who have come in. They're not ideological as much as they're basically reality TV stars who are looking for their niche to get famous so they can cash in. I mean, I look at the one from Colorado with the gun stuff. Immediately, she came in with really slick videos and really well done image kind of stuff that, you know, really stuck her ground as she's the gun chick, man. She's gun Nazi Barbie. And she's not going away from it at all. And, you know, that's her niche. And it seems like you've got these people that's what they're trying to do more than actually legislate or represent their voters. It's about making their image.
Absolutely. I mean, and you mentioned Marjorie Taylor Greene, too. I mean, ever since she was stripped of her committee assignments, she's been languishing in total irrelevance in terms of policymaking. And basically, the only way that she's ever relevant from a congressional day-to-day stance is that she takes these random votes to adjourn the House just for the hell of it. And it annoys even Republicans.
But here's the thing, and I'll be honest, I've been saying it for the longest time. I was against having her kicked off the Labor and Education Committees. I think you, I don't think Democrats should have been doing anything to help Republicans out of their nightmare. I want her on the education committee. So every time I go, we need more education funding, I look at her and go, see, this is why. We need more education funding. As my son always said, she's not worthless. She serves as a bad example.
That's certainly not a bad image. I mean, I would argue that stripping of her committee assignments hasn't really shut her up much as many people were afraid of. But I definitely see your point.
No, what's it? There's a quote. I used it yesterday. It's attributed to Sun Tzu that when your enemy's going down, let them, get out of the way. When they're destroying themselves, let them get out of the way. Let them go. Give them some more rope. Good luck. Try and save them.
Exactly. There's a story just tonight about a bunch of former Republican staffers led by Miles Taylor who are threatening to form their own third conservative party if the Republicans don't make changes.
Good.
That's the sort of thing we should stand back and let happen.
I'm in favor of it. Good. You go. I'm encouraging it. I want Liz Cheney to start a party. Let her and Mitt Romney start one.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, I could never see her switching parties, but I could definitely see her becoming a conservative independent the way Justin Amash was.
Yeah. No, I mean, we had Joe Walsh on the program last night, former Tea Party guy from Illinois. And, he's saying,
I know him. I'm good friends with him.
Yeah. He was saying, look, I don't have a home. I've got nowhere to go. He goes, I'm not a Democrat. That's never going to happen. And I'm no longer this. And I'm going, well, start a party. Grab Liz Cheney, grab Mitt Romney, grab a couple of them, and Kinzinger from Illinois. Start your own party. Met with silence. because
I don't have much to add to that.
No, because at the end of it, the weird thing for me though, Matthew, is that the Republican Party is who they are. I mean, they may look crazy with the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Boberts and the Gates. They may look crazy on the national level, but when you start looking down to the local level, I'm looking here where I live in Pennsylvania at the choices for the Republicans to pull out for governor, someone like Doug Mastriano, and I'm going, crazy white Christian nationalist? Really? Is this who we want running for governor in 2022? These extremists who are the ones who are stopping the steal and we're going to storm the Capitol and having these these idiotic protests during the heart of a pandemic because they didn't want to wear a mask. These are the people who are running for state government. These are the people who are running for city council. These are the people who are running for your freaking school boards. The people who are saying during a pandemic, no, send all the kids into school. Nuts.
The irony is you would think as a very gerrymandered state, at least at the legislative level still, Pennsylvania would have a big bench of Republicans to pick from. But, that might also be part of the problem because, with the gerrymandering, they don't really have to hold themselves accountable to voters because they pick their own voters.
No, but here's the thing, and this is where I think a lot of people haven't really figured out what's going on with the Republican Party because, I believe Republican voters – I do believe there are some Republican voters who do want some bipartisanship. They do want good things. I think what's happened with the Republican Party over the last 20 years is they keep marching further to the right. The moneyed interests keep moving them further and further to the extreme. You got talk radio who fuels this extremism. You've got Fox News who fuels this kind of, you're never pure enough. And no matter who you are as an elected official, as a Republican, you've always got to be worrying about your right. Somebody crazier than you are is going to come out and beat you to the further extreme. And they have just marched to the end, almost to the end of the earth at this point, to where now there are people defending what happened on January 6th. There are people now calling themselves 1-6ers.
I agree. And I would argue that the gradual loss of the suburbs has really accelerated this process because, time was the suburbs were conservative, but they were kind of a moderate type of conservative who just wanted, a sensible, pragmatic leader who would cut their taxes. And, you know, so that was the kind of Republican who would win in a state like Colorado or Arizona. And, you know, as those suburbs have defected to the Democratic Party, there's no real moderating force left in the primaries for Republicans. So you just get radical people who just believe insane things, and there's nothing to challenge them.
No, and look, I said
nothing
earlier,
other than the general election, obviously.
I said earlier, you know, if 9/11 were to happen today, and it was, you know, the DNC was in one of those towers, you'd have Republicans cheering it, which is scary and freaky to me on a whole bunch of levels. But, you know, I'm in this spot where I don't doubt it.
Maybe not the leaders, but certainly a few talk radio hosts.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy times. Last story of the day. I got to get to something, you know, a little funnier, because you know, earlier I said we should give Florida back to Spain, and you know that. but evidently, a Florida guy, you know, Florida man, back again. I guess he tried to use a taxi as a getaway car after robbing a bank.
Yep, that was. I mean, that was certainly a novel choice in that it would, you know, telegraph exactly for the sheriffs how to find him.
No, it wasn't an Uber, you know, or anything, was it? He didn't prepay for the ride.
I mean, I would say that, I mean, it certainly seems to have been like more of a conventional cab service. Yeah. I forget the name of the company.
Spot,
but
Johnny on the Spot Taxi Service.
Yeah, that's the one.
I mean, you can't miss that one because he was right on the, he was right there. Now, how did they catch the guy? Did they just, the guy, the cab take him home and they just roll up and grab him?
Yeah, cab took him home and they went to his home.
So for, I guess, like a little over $8,000, he's going to probably spend 25 years in jail.
Yep.
And yet you get someone like Jeff Bezos, who just is in the process of building a $500 million floating who knows what with three masts. And that's fine.
And its own mini yacht to service it. And meanwhile, you've got Amazon delivery drivers peeing in bottles.
Well, you know, someone's got to pay that $500 million for to get the, you know, the yacht sized dinghy. Crazy, crazy times, my friend. But always good stuff from you, Matthew. I appreciate the work you do over there at Raw Story. Keep it up. I look forward to talking to you again.
Will do. Can't wait to see you again.
Good stuff, Matthew Chapman. Make sure you check out his work over at Raw Story. RawStory.com is the website. We'll get links out on social media. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to the Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1937. That was the day anti-union violence erupted in the Valley of Steel. The Little Steel Strike was then in its 20th day. The strike had spread to Bethlehem's Cambria Works in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Newspaper headlines screamed, 30 clubbed, stabbed, shot in strike. Guerrilla warfare breaks out anew in Pennsylvania. The day had been marred by hours of fighting with scabs and the police as miners joined picketers in support. Strikers lobbed rocks at scab cars attempting to drive through picket lines and successfully overturned a number of vehicles. Steel-helmeted police attacked strikers, swinging riot clubs and launching tear gas shells. One picketer, Tony Mandos, was in critical condition after having been shot twice by police. Mayor Daniel Shields announced he had deputized 250 special police and was preparing to, quote, raise an army of 3,000 American Legionnaires by nightfall to protect the city of Johnstown from strikers. At Warren, Ohio, dynamite crippled railroad operations at a struck Republic steel mill on the Ashtabula-Niles branch of the Pennsylvania Railroad. The explosion came after carloads of raw material had been shunted in and products shipped out of the mill. Auto plants throughout the Midwest slowed production for lack of steel-made parts. UAW President Homer Martin dispatched a telegram to CIO leader John L. Lewis saying, quote, "We are standing by ready to refuse to use steel-made Instruct plants in the production of automobiles, unless the steel companies make a speedy and amicable settlement with the strike." Steelworkers. The CIO threatened a 20,000-strong strike support rally through the streets of Johnstown to protest the violence. They claimed victory when the governor quickly declared martial law and padlocked the gates of the Cambria Works.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So you've heard me talk about wage theft in the past, and one of the things that I always like to point out, according to EPI, the Economic Policy Institute, they came up with this really great kind of situation. They said that all of the bank robberies, all of the residential robberies, all of the convenience stores, all of the gas stations, all of the stick-up, all of the street robberies, everything classified as robbery. Someone sticking a gun in you going, give me your money. Every bit of that, $340 billion is what they said in 2012. At the time, they put wage theft at almost three times that number, almost $1 billion. Being stolen from workers. And you go, but why aren't we complaining? Why aren't we locking people up who do that? And the sad reality is we allow employers to steal from us all the time, whether it's overtime, whether it's making us work through breaks, whether it's just cheating people out of their last paychecks, or just flat out cheating them out of wages. It's insane, but sadly it happens. And here to talk a little bit about it and some of the horrible situations, or at least one big horrible situation that's happened in their backyard, I've asked Bliss Requa Trouts to come talk with us. She's the executive director of the Ariba Las Vegas Worker Center, also Savannah Palmyra. She's an organizer with District Council 16 of the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades. Ladies, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having us.
So I'm looking at this issue. Wage theft is a huge problem in this country. But you guys have got a horror story that is almost unlike any other that I've heard of. Share with me what went on at this unforgettable coatings place.
Yeah, so I am an organizer for the IUPAT, and I came across a company that was painting painting the exteriors of the casinos, and they were painting a couple of schools. And so I started seeing them pop up everywhere, and I started to interview the workers. And when I started to interview the workers, that's when the stories just kept coming. Pretty much the consistent story that I got was that they were never paid 1 ounce of overtime, ever, never had been paid overtime. They also told me that they made anywhere from $12 to $20 an hour. So then when they gave me their paycheck stubs, I was confused because their paycheck stub said $8.25 an hour with a bonus and always just an obnoxious overtime rate. But that was just not the overtime rate for $8.25. And they kept telling me it's simple math. You can figure it out. So once I started digging through the pay stubs, I was able to find that if you took their gross pay divided by their total hours every single time without question, it always turned out to be what they were promised hourly. So he was hiding something. He was not paying any overtime. It was all straight time for overtime. And then shortly after that, the DOL, the Department of Labor, started to investigate them. Once they were investigated, all of their immigration status was threatened. They all received a letter on all of their job sites that basically was like, if you want to talk to investigators, will be there, but just to let you know, your immigration status could pop up. And so finally, about 6 months after that, they filed a Fair Labor Standard Act violation against the entire company.
But here's the thing. These are stories that we've heard, replicated thousands of times, where companies will come in, they'll cheat their workers, they'll violate prevailing wage laws. and you know, claim that, you know, they're paying them, but they aren't. And then when someone does speak up, because sadly, a lot of these fly-by-night contractors seek people who have questionable documented status just so they can threaten them. And Bliss, you know, I look at what the work that you guys do there at the Workers' Center. This can't be something that is foreign to you at all. This has got to be kind of an everyday thing.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here. And, you know, Savannah's talking about some of what we see with unforgettable coatings. And it's a significant case because of the size of the workforce, the assessment of how much has been stolen in wages from these workers. But it's also very emblematic of what immigrant workers face. And so this is unforgettable coatings is a job site where you see the rampant overtime violations. You also see significant health and safety violations because in this country, not in Las Vegas and Nevada, but across the country, we have a lack of protection for immigrant whistleblowers. And so the fears that immigrant workers face can often prevent effective action in a circumstance like this. And so this is an emblematic case that we're raising up to the Department of Labor under new leadership with Secretary Walsh to say, this is the moment to implement whistleblower protections that enable immigrant workers to speak out. Because it has never been more evident that immigrant workers are essential in this workforce. And it's a great collaboration between a worker center and a union because we do really need to come together and protect the most vulnerable workers so that we're able to succeed in what are collective efforts in the labor movement to have fair living wages, honor workers and their contributions, and ensure everyone's safe in their workplace to be right. able to.
It takes us back to the Knights of Labor, an injury to one being an injury to all. If I allow something bad to happen to you, how long is it going to be before it has to happen to us? And, you know, Savannah, looking at the situation here, you're talking about, you know, unions having to compete, union workers having to compete with these fly-by-night contractors or someone like this unforgettable coatings who's committed to cheating at every turn and then claiming, well, you just don't want competition. I'll tell you, I don't want the kind of competition he's bringing. I don't want the competition that's going to seek to exploit people and have less safe conditions and pay poverty wages while he's lining his own pockets.
Yeah, that's correct, Rick. We call it a race to the bottom. And the owner of this company is leading that race out here in Las Vegas. He's one of them. Just doing a little bit of a estimate and helping some of the workers trying to figure out, I know that you were throwing out some national numbers for like robbery and wage theft, but this employer could have the potential. He has over 400 employees and has the potential of stealing every year from his employees over $1 million. It's potential that's how much it is. It all depends on how much they make hourly and how much overtime they did really work. But that's the potential that we're talking about. Just one company down in Las Vegas doing that on his own.
Yeah. And, you know, I look at it as well. You know, some of these jobs could be prevailing wage jobs. And not only are you cheating them out of overtime and I'm sure out of breaks and out of, you know, other things that come unemployment and workers' comp and all of the stuff that goes along with that, but cheating them out of prevailing wages as well.
Yeah, that's correct. I've had some workers tell me that they had to sneak on to prevailing wage jobs and never sign in on the actual certified payroll. I've had stories about how once the DOL got the investigation started, they were locked out of their accounts so that they couldn't share their pay stubs anymore. So it was very, very evident that the owner of this company was trying to silence his workers.
Yeah, and of course, the fear. And Bliss, I'm sure you can talk about this extensively because, you know, this isn't just this one guy. This is what happens to people in an undocumented status, which is why I keep saying, you know, because I have people who say, well, we shouldn't be helping those illegals. I'm going, no. We shouldn't. We should be helping people who want to work. We should be helping people who are here in this country. And we shouldn't allow people to be forced into the shadows where they're voiceless, powerless, and exploitable. That's what we shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'd like to make reference here to a memo that exists actually between the Department of Labor and Department of Homeland Security that comes from 2011. And this is what we're really calling on the new administration to implement. There's already a memo on the books that a Department of Labor investigation, whether that's wage and hour or OSHA or EEOC or NLRB, that should take precedence over immigration enforcement, because otherwise we're going to continue in this downward slope with unionization. There's an easy exit right now for any employer who's facing employee organizing. You're getting sued, call ICE. You have your workplace is about to unionize, call ICE. And until we block that, we're going to continue to see these losses in organizing.
So what are we expecting the Biden administration to do? Because, you know, as I understand it, the penalties are very weak. You know, for me, I would like to see the CEO of this company in a pinstripe suit sitting at the Gray Bar Hotel as a guest of the state. But that doesn't happen often. Or Savannah, is it possible that this guy could be locked up and spend a little time as a guest of the state? Or is that something we don't do to the wealthy in the CEO class?
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because when I was trying to figure this out, I was always like, well, you know, if this guy had literally broken into these workers' homes, he could be arrested. So where's the 911 number I have to call on him? Where is that number right now? And so I don't know what will happen. I'm just hoping to see that the workers are paid their wages that were taken from them. And let's see what happens with the rest of the case and see what everything else unfolds. But mainly, I would want to see the protections of the workers and for them to get all of the wages stolen back to them, repaid to them.
Yeah, Bliss, let me ask you, you know, because, you know, we're talking about a dry subject, you know, well, wage stuff, you know, it's kind of an abstract, but these are people's lives. This is money coming out of families, off their kitchen table. This is hurting people's ability to support their families. And I'm sure you've got stories that could, you know, maybe, you know, curl our ears, but can you share one with us?
Yeah, you know what, Rick? I think this is happening across the country, but right now you could very much say that we are at reaching a peak in an eviction crisis here. So now we're not only talking about the economic well-being of the family, we're talking about a roof over their head, right? And so there's a very real cost to wage theft. And when we're talking with workers, you know, we're not talking about what's coming out of your pocket, we're talking about what's coming out of your children's mouths, right? And so the economic precarity that's been caused by COVID has exacerbated conditions that permit wage theft, because we don't have investigators that are going out, whether it's policy or health related reasons. We don't really have investigators going out to job sites, at the same time that there's even more security on the part of workers, because I know that I'm being robbed. But I also know that I can't go out without a paycheck next week if I raise my voice up about this. Right. And so the conditions are perfect. The numbers that you're giving for Economic Policy Institute, those are true. But I suspect that we're going to see much higher numbers coming out of the pandemic, because the conditions have just permitted all kinds of abuse.
Yeah. So let me ask you, over the 4 years of the previous guy's administration, how bad do you think wage theft was during those 4 years? Because we didn't have a cop on the beat. In fact, the person who was in charge of the wage and hour division herself was actually accused of wage theft. Yes, the person who was enforcing our wage theft laws herself was accused of wage theft. So do you think it was worse? Do you think it was the same? Where would you put it?
Yeah, I would definitely say that it's worsening. I would definitely say that it's worsening. And we can tie it back to Unforgettable Coatings, because this same company was investigated in Arizona in 2013 and paid a settlement and have continued to implement the same practices and even exacerbate them in this workplace. But I can say also anecdotally that, you know, we were seeing an increase in workers coming in independently to report wage theft here at the Worker Center. And that takes sort of quite a degree of abuse, because a lot of folks misinterpret that they don't have rights, or that workers' rights are not equal regardless of immigration status. So I think anecdotally, I can say that is certainly true.
Yeah, well, the CEO did, as the one article I read, he did make a contribution to charity. So that should be OK then, right? No, we're not going
sure.
there. Savannah, I did want to ask you, though, because, you know, as I was reading a couple of the stories on this, it seemed like the CEO's ire was pointed directly at you and the painters union, because you're the guys who kind of uncovered this, because he was working on a job site with people that with union painters, and it came up. And this is why we need to have labor unions, and we need to have people who are paying attention and who know what the laws are and then know what to do with those laws. Am I getting this right, that you guys are the ones who kind of uncovered this?
Yeah, you know, I, like I said, I stumbled across them on a couple of casinos and on a school and started interviewing their workers. But then I did find them on the Raider Stadium. They were painting on the Raider Stadium under a PLA before they had signed their letter of assent. And so we were able to have them use our union workers to finish that job. And they even had to pay us, like they had to pay us a settlement. I believe in one of the articles, he said some number, but I don't believe that that was the number, but he had to end up paying us a settlement because he didn't pay our workers correctly. So if he gets it would appear that if he had the opportunity, he would do it continually because he had the prior wage and hour investigation and FLSA on him in 2013. He has it now. And he just seems to keep continuing that pattern.
Yeah. And look, they know that the penalties are very minimal. They know they're not going to end up in jail. And the worst thing they're going to do is get a little slap on the hand. Don't do it again now. And have to post a notice saying they promise they won't do it again until the next time they get caught. You know, that's the penalty. Where I'm saying draconian, lock them up. That's the way we solve these problems. Put these criminals in prison just like you would someone who stole a peppermint patty from a convenience store. Because in Philadelphia, a guy got caught stealing 3 peppermint patties, spent 513 days in jail. This guy's stealing thousands, if not $1 million from people, doesn't see the inside of his cell. Something wrong there. Last question I have for each of you, and let me start with you, Bliss. You know, what should people do if they think that they're being cheated, if they think wages are being stolen from them? What's the response?
Yeah, I mean, I think we go back here to the principles of the labor movement, which is that there is strength in unity, because it's true legally that labor protections exist equally regardless of immigration status. And it is also true that retaliation takes place every day. And so, you know, workers can go to on a state level Nevada Labor Commission or go to their state labor commission, they can go to the Department of Labor. But the way that we're going to win change is going to be workers, worker centers, unions, labor advocates coming together and holding the line to start to see some of that much needed change that you're talking about.
No, we absolutely need it. And Savannah, your thoughts?
Well, I was just thinking that I believe that the collaboration of everybody on the same page, I would love to see there be stricter penalties in the future for something just like we've been talking about for the owners of these companies that are taking apart this, taking advantage of these workers more so than the threat to the workers. I think that that would be something eventually. We'd love to protect the right to organize, right? Pass the PRO Act and be able to have these guys come forward to a union. I also think that it would be super important if the DOL could get more information into their hands that they don't care, like what their actual rights are.
Yep.
I think that if they could, that education would be huge for these workers.
I absolutely agree. But ladies, I appreciate the time. Good stuff. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'll tell you guys, you know, the reality is, and this is why I'm such a huge advocate for labor unions. The fact of the matter is I've been a union worker my entire life, never cheated out of a dime. I'll file a grievance for a nickel. If you don't have a voice at work, if you don't have a contract that enforces your voice, you don't have anything and you're able to be ripped off. And these stories just kind of highlight that for me. I'd love to hear your stories. If you've got a wage theft story, I want to hear it. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
I'm Rick Smith.
And this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1937. That was the day anti-union violence erupted in the Valley of Steel. The Little Steel Strike was then in its 20th day. The strike had spread to Bethlehem's Cambria Works in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Newspaper headlines screamed, 30 clubbed, stabbed, shot in strike. Guerrilla warfare breaks out anew in Pennsylvania. The day had been marred by hours of fighting with scabs and the police as miners joined picketers in support. Strikers lobbed rocks at scab cars attempting to drive through picket lines and successfully overturned a number of vehicles. Steel-helmeted police attacked strikers, swinging riot clubs and launching tear gas shells. One picketer, Tony Mandos, was in critical condition after having been shot twice by police. Mayor Daniel Shields announced he had deputized 250 special police and was preparing to, quote, raise an army of 3,000 American Legionnaires by nightfall to protect the city of Johnstown from strikers. At Warren, Ohio, dynamite crippled railroad operations at a struck Republic Steel Mill on the Ashtabula-Niles branch of the Pennsylvania Railroad. The explosion came after carloads of raw material had been shunted in and products shipped out of the mill. Auto plants throughout the Midwest slowed production for lack of steel-made parts. UAW President Homer Martin dispatched a telegram to CIO leader John L. Lewis saying, quote, "We are standing by ready to refuse to use steel made in struck plants in the production of automobiles, unless the steel companies make a speedy and amicable settlement with the striking steelworkers." The CIO threatened a 20,000 strong strike support rally through the streets of Johnstown to protest the violence. They claimed victory when the governor quickly declared martial law and padlocked the gates of the Cambria Works.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So again, I find it interesting that they gave Liz Cheney the boot for not going along with the big lie that Trump won. Even though Lynn Wood was out there saying, you know, this isn't about Trump. It's about God, because God's going to come and clean house. Look, evidently Trump's got the codes. The military's going to listen, sign the Insurrection Act. In about a month, it's all going to happen. It's amazing how they keep putting it off just about a month. Because if you remember, wasn't the elections January 20th not supposed to happen? It's supposed to be March. That didn't happen. Now we're pushing it off another month. I guess it's just to keep people all knotted up in the panties. And here to share some thoughts on just how crazy things have gotten, our favorite investigative journalist and author, our good friend Greg Palast. Greg, thanks for taking time for us. Did I lose Greg?
Palast was not an investigative reporter, you know, but... I'll fill in as best I can.
All righty. Well, you're one of my favorite investigative journalists, one of the people that I look to for fact and information. And I want to get your thoughts on the purging, the canceling of Liz Cheney.
The canceling of Liz Cheney. Well, as you know, it's their tent is getting smaller, so all you need is a nice a big nice wolf to blow them away. So you know, it's you know, I'm glad. Let them bare their teeth. Let them, you know. Look, they don't wear masks now. They're, you know, and they're taking off their happy masks now too.
It's so funny because they're the ones who wear the hood.
I have no problem with them getting rid of Liz Cheney. She's one of the worst members of Congress that there is.
Exactly.
You know, but you know, as I think it was the poet T.S. Eliot, if you don't mind a little versification, said, you know, the last temptation is the greatest treason, to do the right thing for the wrong reason. So there you are.
And here we are. The reality is, I don't care. I don't care what the Republicans do. You know, what's that saying? If you know, if your enemy's, you know, going down, get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
Get out of the way. Let them fall. But here's the weird thing, though. I mean, you know, she's honest about saying that the election wasn't stolen from Trump. There wasn't the mass voter fraud that they were saying from the Democrats. It was actually the Republicans who were working hard at stealing the election. And yeah, look at Georgia. And you bring it up all the time, Pergenberger. He was doing everything he could do before the election to ensure that the election was stolen.
Yes. So what's happened in Georgia, and it's getting worse, by the way, I'm heading off to Georgia on Sunday because I was hoping to take some time off, you know. I mean, but, you know, it looks like the skullduggery doesn't take a break. Jim Crow doesn't sleep. He is always awake. And it's 300 bills in 40 states to take away people's right to vote. It's, you know, and in Georgia, as usual, it's ground zero. And why? For 8 years, I've been going to Georgia saying, by the way, Georgia's a blue state. Actually, I'm quoting Martin Luther King III. I was at his house and he said, "No, Greg, Georgia's a blue state." I said, "What?" He says, it ain't redneck state. It is a blue state if they'd let us vote. And us is not just black folk. It's people, it's college students. It's people in urban areas. They have done a mass attack on the voter rolls. And, you know, Stacey Abrams will be running, I assume, for governor next year. Reverend Warnock is going to be running again next year. And they're in a panic. He's got to run for re-election because, remember, Reverend Senator Warnock only ran for a fill-in seat, so he's running again. So they're in complete panic, and they know that if they let voters vote, Stacey Abrams and Warnock will win. It's not whether I'm for or against them. It's not a partisan question. It's like I'm just one of those guys who thinks, hey, maybe the voters ought to choose the Senate and ought to choose the president. So the new trick, you'll love this, Rick. In December, before the runoff for the U.S. Senate with Ossoff and Warnock, a group out of Texas, challenged 364,000 Georgia voters' ballots. Said, don't count those ballots. What? Even if they vote this, and they challenged their ballots, you'll love this, before most of these people even voted or mailed in their ballots. They said, don't count those ballots. Because in Georgia, they have an old Jim Crow law that says any voter can challenge another voter in their county. That was like an old Jim Crow trick so that Farmer Joe can say, you know, oh, there's Black Samuel. He shouldn't be allowed to vote. That's how that was the old trick. But now they've computerized Jim Crow. He's Dr. James Crow, cyber expert. And they challenged 364,000 Georgian ballots. Now, Stacey Abrams' group Fair Fight and the ACLU sent letters to these counties say, you even dream of not counting those ballots. You know, handcuffs are waiting. Well, so even the Republican county said, this is nutso, because you have to know the voter to challenge them. And we had some of these challengers were challenging 14,000 voters. They must have had a heck of a wedding. Where did they put that wedding party to know all these people? But now the state of Georgia, the reason I'm going back, here I am with the voting fire department again to put out another fire. The Georgia legislature passed this new horrendous law, which we've talked about. But the new law allows anyone to challenge an unlimited number of voters, and they're authorizing, and literally this guy, Raffensperger, and his name really is Perger, that's always gotten wrong on TV, the Secretary of State, has actually invited this Texas group, saying, if you go ahead and challenge these people because it's a way to allow me, he literally said this, to avoid federal law. Well, guess what? You can't invite an outside group to help you break the law. That's called a conspiracy. You know, I'm sorry. I used to work with the Justice Department. I'm not a conspiracy nut. I'm a conspiracy expert. I actually was an investigator for the Justice Department on conspiracy cases. This is the classic. He's inviting people to wipe out the voter rolls, hunt down black voters, remove them. So I'm going down to bust this scheme and talk to some of the voters who supposedly don't live in Georgia anymore, some baloney like that. This is the games being played. And that's just one of the tricks. And here's the problem. If this True the Vote organization gets away with this out of Texas, they're going to use it. They can use this trick in 40 states. And that's just the beginning of the problems in Georgia and around the country. So look, hey, GOP, let me give you a hint. How about you convince the voters to vote for you instead of using all your time and money figuring out how to stop voters from voting? And believe me, these guys have got the funds behind this group, True the Vote, behind a lot of these attacks. Is a group of billionaires, the new Koch brothers. It's the Bradley family, this ultra right wing family out of Wisconsin, which is why Wisconsin's also in danger. Michigan's also in danger. Look out, guys. They're coming for you.
No, you're absolutely right. But, you know, there's this group that put out a letter on Monday. This Flag Officers for America. I'm sure you've seen them. 120 military folks who put out a letter. And one of the things they said that, you know, legal votes are identified by state legislatures, approved controls using government IDs, verified signatures, etc. Because they said, you know, election integrity demands there be one legal vote cast.
I asked these guys, do me a favor. Show me one illegal voter. I'll take my cameras and I'll make a citizen arrest. Let's go find that voter. I'm not looking for 50,000 voters or like Trump begging the state of Georgia to find 11,000 illegal voters. They couldn't find 11. They couldn't find. By the way, the state of Georgia, the GOP, the great hero, said he had 1,000 double voters he found. So I asked him to give me the name of one. Oh, well, actually, Jose Garcia was this two different Jose Garcias. I'm not making that up, by the way. He could accuse 1,000 people of voting twice, and it was just people with names like Jose Garcia and John Johnson. So I want them to show me this fraudulent voter. You know, and this disease is spreading. I mean, I hate to say it. I work, you know, in England, too. I work with The Guardian a lot and BBC television. The British government, the Tory government, is now saying they want voter ID. I said, well, do you have a single case of a false voter in Britain? I couldn't find it. It just doesn't exist.
Yeah. No, so I mean,
this type of disease is happening all over. And then Arizona, let's go there. Let's have some fun. They're recounting the vote. Now I'm worried because while they can't overturn the presidential vote, other elections could be overturned. They are so-called reviewing the ballots. They've handed a private group of crazies people's ballots. That's, you know, it's the fancy word is violating the chain of custody.
Right.
The less fancy word is stealing the ballots, going into a dark room and then coming back out and saying, oh, this ballot shouldn't be counted because you have a stray mark on it. Well, did you put a stray mark on it? They actually had an accusation. You'll love this one, Rick. That 40,000 mail-in ballots were mailed in from China. From China.
Yeah, yeah. Looking for Chinese fibers.
They're looking for bamboo fibers in the ballots. Now, you keep in mind, we get an awful lot of our paper from China. But anyway, what do they think? That they have 40,000 ballots being filled out by pandas? And, you know, let's remember something. You can't just, you know, photocopy a ballot, fill it in, and mail it in. Every single ballot has to be associated with you know, there's an outside envelope. It has to be associated and signed by a voter. The state of Arizona has found exactly zero illegally mailed in absentee ballots, none by pandas and none by anyone. But they're playing this game. It's a very dangerous game because I got to tell you something else, Rick, what people don't understand. I can laugh about it, but here's the problem. We have in America an issue called spoiled ballots. We have about 2 million ballots in any presidential year, which are disqualified on cockamamie grounds. For example, even in California, if you don't fill in, for example, in a lot of states that say fill in a bubble on a mail-in ballot, I'm actually always worried about mail-in ballots. I think you should have the right to them, but I don't recommend them. Because, for example, if you put a check mark instead of filling a bubble, in a lot of states, you just disqualified your ballot. I can tell you two people, my mother, who was a school teacher, my sister, who's a lawyer, had their ballots disqualified because they didn't properly fill in a bubble. I kid you not. So we've got to, and we've got to end this game. So it's not just the new laws that the GOP is coming up with. It's the laws that are already on the book, which have stopped the ballots from legal ballots from being counted, stopped legitimate voters from voting. And this, and like you say, we start out with this issue of the purge. You know, there's that TV show that they had where once a year you can just kill anyone you want. Well, the GOP has decided that once a year you can purge voters and wipe out any voters you want. It's ugly. Are you ready? 24 million people were purged in the last 2 years. Now, through court cases, through action, through warning people, probably most of those people had their names restored to the voter rolls. But you're talking about millions of people who were denied the right to vote. It's just, I don't know. It actually really angers me. And that's why I kind of canned my vacation and heading off to sweaty Georgia.
I'm interested to find out what you come up with because, you know, I'm looking at Georgia as one of those states. It's right now the laboratory of horrible. If they get away with all of this stuff here, it will spread like a virus across this country. And Republican states all across the country, they're pushing this kind of poison. And I fear no matter what happens in 2022, no matter how well Joe Biden does in these next several months, the Republicans have already set up the steal.
Well, think about this. Joe Biden officially won Wisconsin by just over 10,000 votes. Now, before the election, the GOP legislature passed a law saying that they had to use a list called from this private organization called Eric. I call it Eric Crow. And they challenged the votes. They demanded that the state of Wisconsin remove 135,000 voters. And I did an analysis working, by the way, with the Washington Post. Thank you. And we did analysis. Almost every one of those voters that they challenged. And again, this is the legislature. We're either students in Madison or black folk in Milwaukee. I wonder what color, you know, voters of color, and the color is blue. Now, I will say that unlike Georgia, which is where the Board of Election is just a hack fest of GOP stooges, in Wisconsin, it's a bipartisan board. And the bipartisan board said, this list is junk. We don't care what the legislature says. This list is junk. We're not going to remove these 135,000 voters. And by the way, I talked to them. I had a young student in Madison. I had an older African-American in Milwaukee saying, they're saying I don't live in Wisconsin. There they were. And That purge was stopped. And that's important to know. If you do fight it, you can win it. If that purge had gone through, I wrote a report on it to the Board of Elections for Black Voters Matter. If we didn't win that fight, it would be hail to the thief. Agent Orange would still be there.
Yeah.
Bad stuff.
No, it's horrible stuff. But I have people all the time saying, buying the lie that Trump won, Biden's not a legitimate president, all the same garbage. And I keep going, show me in court where you made that argument. Granted, Rudy Giuliani and the clown car of Trump attorneys were saying this stuff in public, but they never brought it into the court of law where here's our evidence. They never came out with evidence where they put their hand on the Bible and said, I swear to the God that they now claim is going to come clean house in the country and restore Donald Trump to the presidency. They never brought any of that stuff. So for me, it's all just BS.
Well, and that's the problem. I said, show me the illegal voter. Give me the name. It's easy to find illegal voters. After all, you got their name and address. They often show up. You just cuff them. let's do it. I have no problem with that. Remember good old Chris Kobach? He's running now for Attorney General of Kansas. Chris Kobach told me he had authority to arrest illegal voters. And I went to Chris in Wichita. This is, Trump's vote thief in chief. And I said, okay, Mr. Kobach. He was Secretary of State at the time. I said, you have the power to arrest people. How many people have you arrested? Here's your list of tens of thousands of people you've removed from the voter rolls of Kansas and hundreds of thousands of people that you're trying to remove in coordination with your buddy in Georgia. Now, can you just tell me which of these people actually are illegal voters and let's go and arrest them? He said, just wait. Well, I'm still waiting, Chris Kobach of Kansas, KKK for short. We're still waiting, but he's running for attorney general. He's not dead yet. You have to, he's come back out of the crypt. And I'm very, very concerned because they're still running this game. They've created a new organization to hunt down the fraudulent voters. And it's a con, but they use that con of the fraudulent voters who they can't find. They're waiting for that spaceship to arrive. But in the meantime, they are removing aliens, even though there's no evidence that a spaceship had arrived with the alien voters.
But we've got the bamboo ballots in Arizona.
Bamboo ballots. It's like, but it's, it's ridiculous, but they really do understand. We do concentrate on the presidential election and of course in Georgia in those in the runoff elections where we looked at the Senate races. But I've looked at a lot of these races. I can't tell you how many elections. And of course, we start with George W. Bush stealing 2000 by removing 58,000 black people from the voter rolls there. You've had massive, massive vote suppression. This is vote thievery, but it's not by individual stealing votes, because remember, to organize individual voters to commit this type of fraud, it's just impossible to pull off. But what they do is they can steal by computer, not by messing around with the voting machines. That's all nonsense. What I'm talking about is messing around with the voter rolls and accusing people. And they say, oh, well, we'll send you a postcard. Oh, you have to send it back. It looks like they know the game. They know if they send you a postcard, because most of these deals, they have to send you a postcard. They send you a postcard, but most it's junk mail. How many pieces of junk do you get from crap do you get from the Koch brother front organizations that say official mail on the outside, do not destroy? Well, and it's, trying to sell you some baloney.
No, I'll take a perfect example. Since you brought that up on election day, I had a guy, I was handing out flyers for a local candidate online, as people are waiting for, and this guy was adamant that he had gotten 7 ballots. He received 7 ballots. They kept sending him ballots. And, I said, I don't believe it. I think you're lying to me. Bring them back. I want to see them. Well, this guy actually came back and he brought back 7 envelopes that said official ballot right across it. And what they were, it was things for you to send in to get a ballot. There was this official, the Center for Voter something or other. I forget the name of it, but he had them. They looked super official and he thought they were all ballots. And I said, well, why did you fill them all out?
Well, the thing is that the like in California, we have it's a mail-in opt-out system. In California, it's almost all mail-in because unless you specifically say, I want to go in because I enjoy waiting in line, I'm going to go in. You get your ballot automatically by mail in California, but they send you notices, several, saying, we're sending you a ballot. Look out for it. But it's not extra ballots. And then they send you the sample ballot, et cetera. I'm waiting for these fake ballots filled out by pandas. Just show me one. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking 4,000. I'm not asking for 11,000 like Trump did in Georgia. I'm asking for one.
Just one. And I want the same thing. Let's get the first panda vote. I want to see it. But Greg, as always, entertaining, informational, and I'm looking forward to your next report coming out of Georgia. We'll have you back again to talk about that. Greg, I appreciate the time, man.
I will. If I find a panda, I'll tell you. Go to gregpalace.com to check out what I'm doing. Bye.
There you go. Good stuff. And we'll get links out on social media. gregpalace.com, the website. Our good friend Greg Palace. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.